This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And with us in the studio this morning, we have, from our friends at Phillips 66, we have Paul Swanson and Molly Merritt. Good morning.
And we're just going to start by saying no amount of oil will make our show go smoothly.
Nope, just isn't going to happen.
Good morning, you too. Doesn't matter.
Okay, oil. Everybody uses it. Nobody knows a darn thing about it.
And if you don't have it in your engine while you're at altitude, you're not going to have a great
day.
That's
right.
That can be a problem.
Yeah. That can be a problem. How much, I mean, synthetics? Okay, let's dig into the science of oil.
Absolutely.
Ash dispersant. What does that mean to us non-oil people?
So the ashless dispersant is in there to help keep your engine clean. So piston aviation engine oils cannot have detergents like an automotive engine oil. So that is in there.
Really? Why not?
Right. Well, it would cause issues with the ignition. So,
really?
Yeah. So we don't want to have that. So
don't
put an automotive engine oil in your aviation engine.
Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Can I do the reverse?
Well, I would not recommend that.
Wait a minute. They're both oil. It's just the difference in the additives.
And I'm sure you've had people just say that. What are you talking about? It's just oil.
One of our top questions.
Yeah. So how we're approaching when we did Sun and Fun in Oshkosh this year is our presentation this year is all about the myth. So Paul and I kind of refer to ourselves as the Mythbusters.
We're the Mythbusters when it comes to aviation lubricants.
What's the top myth?
Well, one of them is... what's better? Okay, so you have two different brands that are licensed in the aviation space. You have Phillips, you have Aeroshell, okay? And which is better? And to be fair, okay, is the licensing and testing that both brands go through the Navy. It starts with the Navy and then E-38, and then the FAA has a seat at the table, and then Lycoming, Continental, Pratt & Whitney, all of the engine manufacturers, okay? And both brands have to go through strict testing. We're talking millions and millions of dollars about with bench testing. If we change anything, and that's the other thing, do you change stuff? No, because if we change even the littlest thing, we have to go back and get retested, recertified. Even if we were to move the plant, okay?
All that paperwork has to be done again. Like if they wanted to move across the street.
Wow.
All that paperwork has to be done again.
Yeah. Wow.
It is quite the ordeal.
Yeah, okay. So people, they hear that and they go, wow, I never thought. And then the other thing is well, you know, what's the difference, you know, synthetics versus non-synthetics or mineral base oils. And with both brands, they're, except for one, the 1550, they're all mineral base oil, group one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The main reason for that is the leaded fuel. Because everybody gets blow-by, okay?
Right.
Now, to be fair, the 1550 is a synthetic blend, okay? So there is some synthetic base stocks in it. It is licensed, though, okay? And if you follow all of the recommendations, that's not a problem, okay?
This is getting way more complicated than just pouring oil in the thing. Yeah.
Well, all right, now I'm going to complicate it even further.
Sure.
Because this is the heart of the home-built movement right here at Oshkosh.
Yep.
So we don't follow directions.
What oil do you use if you happen to have an automotive engine in your airplane? Oh, boy.
God, we're making them cringe.
I know.
If you've got an automotive engine, you want to follow what oil is supposed to go in that automotive engine. Okay, if you have a Rotax, you want to use a Rotax licensed oil. Unfortunately, we don't have a licensing from Rotax to make a Rotax oil. They make their own licensed oil now. They push that.
Of course they do.
And then Aeroshell still has a licensing on Rotax oil too, so they make some of it.
Okay.
But every year I go and ask Rotax for a licensing, and they politely say no, and I understand why. We'll keep asking.
Yeah.
We'll keep asking. But as a major oil company, we're not going to come out with an oil or a product that isn't licensed through the manufacturer and approved. We just won't do it.
No, you're not going to sell any of it.
You're not going to sell it, and the other problem is the liability.
The warranty on it, right.
Yeah.
We're going to be risk averse, so we're not going to be doing that.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, back to oil 101. W15W50.
Mm-hmm.
Explain, please.
The W or the 1550 or both?
Well, both, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what the W means winter weight, right?
Very good, Dave.
Yeah,
you got it.
Now, that means that when it's cold, it's a 15 weight?
Yes.
And then when another it's hot, star. It comes up to 50.
You got it.
So man, you
got,
should come to our presentation. You get trivia 8 out of 8.
Yeah.
I know this because many, many years ago, I bought a car that leaked so much oil, I bought straight 30 weight and found out that at 10 degrees, straight 30 weight won't pour out of the can.
Yeah, it's pretty thick.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. So that's another big question we get. Straight weights versus multi-viscosities. Both brands have straight weights, multi-viscosities. We are a big believer in multi-viscosities because it gives you the same protection of a straight weight when it's hot out, but it also gives you great protection when it's cold out to get thinner and protect your engine. Okay. Well,
the big deal there is it makes the engine easier to crank over.
Yes.
Thick oil doesn't turn.
Yep.
All right. Devil's advocate me again.
Okay.
Here we go.
What do you do? You know, do you really need it? Because there are a lot of people out there that preheat their engines.
Correct. Sure. I mean, if you're preheating or you've got a heated hanger, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he just wants to keep using the straight grade. But he's like, well, convince me to use the multi-grade. I'm like, I'm not going to convince you if you're going to preheat it and you have a heated hanger and you're not having any issues.
But preheat, you know, normal operating temperature for oil is what, 200 to 250 if you're good?
180 to 250, yep.
Okay, so preheating is nowhere near getting there, so you're still going to get the benefit of the thinning at cold temperatures, correct?
Correct. Yep. Yeah. Correct.
Even with preheat.
The preheat doesn't get it that hot.
No, but it does help warm it up a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
It helps a lot.
I think it helps the battery more than the oil.
If you ever watched any episodes of Ice Pilots, heating those engines and keeping them warm is critical.
Yeah, but that's extreme there.
Of course, they're 40 below.
Correct.
Yeah, that's extreme.
One thing I caution people on with heaters is don't keep them plugged in all the time, okay? Like this time of year or whenever or spring, fall. Because the biggest thing these engines fight is corrosion. We all fight it, right?
Right.
You know? So, you know, a heater is great, but use it when you need to use it and then unplug it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now that...
Because I was thinking, you know, the biggest way to fight corrosion is drive moisture out. Drive moisture out by keeping the engine slightly hotter than ambient.
Yep. But when you're not flying and that plane's sitting there and it's hooked up to a heater, and I'm talking about the winter, I'm talking about this time of year,
I'm talking
about spring and fall where we're above freezing.
Right.
You know, if it isn't needed, don't plug it in.
Gotcha. More of a fire danger than anything, I imagine.
So.
Yeah, not to mention the danger of running your electric bill off the chart.
You know, have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, well, the other oil must be better because they have a cow?
Truth be told, I am a Shell retiree. And I remember handing out the cow posters.
Oh, yes. I have a couple.
Yeah, and the T-shirts, you bet.
Yep, it's a big thing here to run over and get your cow posters.
Absolutely.
As soon as you can,
well, here I am over here, you know, a little bit younger, and I'm thinking, are y'all talking about Chick-fil-A? Or what are we talking about with the cow over here? You're making me hungry.
Yeah, you're not allowed to use edible oil in your engine either, are you? Oh my God, who thought oil would be so funny?
Yeah.
But anyway, do you guys ever get approached for like NASA to make specialty lubricants?
Yes.
We've been talking about Titan. Okay. I don't know what lubricants can work at minus 297 or whatever that number was.
It was some incredible
minus
number.
Oh my God.
I will say this, and you guys have all heard of non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the major oil companies have worked with NASA, the government, whatever, to develop oils and greases and gear oils that will work under harsh conditions.
Gotcha.
You know? And then we also work with the manufacturers as they plan new engines, you know, for the GA space, and they're looking to use our, you know, test our oil and work with us and trying to figure out what's right as they're developing these new engines.
Well, I hope they start developing new metallurgy so they last longer.
That is an issue. Yeah.
I can't wait to see the commercial that says, when I'm on Titan, I use Phillips 66.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, you have to consider the operating environment, too. Mm-hmm. Temperatures and pressures in an aircraft engine are significant, a lot more than in your automobile.
Exactly. Yep.
Not the way I drive.
Yep. I will tell you a quick story, though, about severe conditions. So up in Alaska, there's an air freight company called Everts Air, and they fly these old DC-6s are DC-6s. They're four engines, and they fly them out to all the settlements, deliver all the fuel oil, four-wheelers, food, everything. And they were running our 120 in these old engines, which is that's what they were designed
to do. That's a heavyweight oil.
But that's what those engines were designed to do. And when I first met them about 5 years ago, I brought out our 2560 multi-viscosity, because, you know, you guys brought this up when we first sat down today. They're flying in minus 60, minus 40. Mm. And when they switch to this multi-viscosity, and this gets back to the multi-viscosity, okay, the protection you get, they saw a dramatic decrease in maintenance issues.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, dramatic. I guess most of that wears startup when everything's cold and you're not getting oil.
Startup and severe cold conditions, and you've got a thinner oil, so it's protecting the parts. It's keeping them, lasting longer.
Yes, oiled.
Yeah. Yep.
During World War II,
They had oil back then, yes.
Shut up.
Yeah, we were making oil back then, believe it or not. I wasn't here, but... Yeah.
I read a story of a C-47 that popped an oil line out on Guam or some far-out island. The island only had two things. One of them was peanut oil. Okay. Well, they were able to fix the oil line, but there was no engine oils out there. So they literally filled the engine up with peanut oil and flew another couple of thousand miles on it.
Yeah, well, then they replaced the engine and flushed the whole system.
Probably.
Something's better than nothing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, exactly.
The plane made it. That's the key part.
Exactly.
That's the key part.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, everybody, check your oil.
Please.
We've been speaking with Paul Swanson and Molly Merritt of Phillips 66. It's the 21st century. Shouldn't you be up to like 67 or 68 by now?
And with inflation, it
that's
would be
not
82,
changing.
83.
All right. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.